Upon everyone here tonight. We ask that tonight you will do some new things in someone's life that will mark a turning point. Be glorified, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord the praise. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Welcome everyone here tonight in the precious name of Jesus. Welcome all our youths from all across the country. We believe that your life will never remain the same in Jesus' name. Foreign delegates from across the world, we are also happy to see you and to have you in Jesus' name. Where are you from, sir? From Cameroon. We appreciate you. We have also members of Tanzanian Parliament, two of them, Honorable Jengeli James Tate and Honorable Christiana Nzava. We appreciate you. We met with them in our trip to Tanzania, and we shall be in Tanzania shortly in Dar es Salaam again for the massive crusade. You're welcome. God bless you. Give the Lord the praise as they have their seats. Hallelujah. Tonight is our preservation service. And we're going to deal on a very, very, very important subject. By the way, the month is titled Light Has Come and Glory Is Risen Through Positive Character. You know, it was by virtue of positive character that Joseph became what he became. He shined. By virtue of positive character, Daniel became what he became. That is the theme of the month as a whole. Tonight, in order for us to experience the preservation power of positive character, we want to consider the destructive power of negative character. The destructive power of negative character. If we know that is the subject for tonight, the destructive power of negative character. To experience preservation, you must avoid destruction. That is correct and accurate. If a person must experience preservation, they must escape destruction. That is why we are considering this destructive power of negative character. Our objective is twofold, just like he said, understanding the destructive power of negative character. And number two, we will be understanding the preservation power of positive character. We'll understand first and foremost the destructive power of negative character, and then understand the positive power of negative character. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3. He said, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, shall literally cause them to escape disaster. But the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, shall cause them to escape. But the perverseness of transgressors, shall destroy them. Scriptures make it abundantly clear that positive character preserves, and negative character destroys. Positive character preserves, and negative character destroys. Examples abound throughout Scripture of people that were destroyed by negative character. And examples also abound of people that were preserved by positive character. Let's quickly look at the examples of people destroyed by negative character. Number one, Lot. Lot lost his life and destiny on the platform of strife, greed, and lack of value for authority. Lot lost his life on the platform of strife, greed, and lack of respect or value for authority. Everybody knows that God called Abraham, but Abraham called Lot. Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1, when God asked Abraham to leave his father's house, he didn't mention Lot's name. But in verse 5, Abraham went out with Lot. By chapter 13 and in verse 2, God had blessed Abraham and he was very rich in cattle. He was very rich in silver. He was very rich in gold. By verse 5, Lot also, because he went with Abraham, also became rich and became loaded and became influential. And that entered his head. And in verse 7, strife started. And there was strife between the headmen of Abraham's cattle and the headmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelt then in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I beg you, between me and you, and between my headmen and thy headmen, for we are brothers. He should have said, I am your uncle, because that was what he was. It's not the whole land before thee. Separate yourself, I pray you, from me. If you will take the left hand, I will go right. Or if you will depart to the right hand, then I will go left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. That was the greatest mistake of Lot. When you leave your cover leaves you. That was the greatest mistake of Lot. But look at this. The man brought him out. First, he began to strive. He entered into contention and competition with his father. In Africa, your uncle is your father. He entered into bitterness and malice and strife and competition with his father, with his uncle. Then, when his uncle said, this is land between us, choose one, I choose the other. Instead of the boy saying, or the man Lord saying, excuse me, sir, it was you God called, not me. You are the one who brought me out. Tell me where to go. That is, if you were to leave him at all. I can't choose before you. All right, you make the choice, and I will choose another. Not Lot. He lifted up his eyes, saw the area that was well watered. In other words, I choose the wet ground. Uncle, die in the dry land. Not knowing that where he chose was already marked for demolition. Sodom and Gomorrah was already marked for destruction. He couldn't perceive. He was not sensitive. That was how Lot ended his life. Ended his destiny. Ended his future. In Genesis chapter 19, verse 15 to 17, you see the end of Lot. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot and saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters, which are here, lest you be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Rise. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. The Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. That was how they pulled Lot out of the city. All his investments were left behind. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for your life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest he be consumed. And in one day, everything Lot labored, everything greed gave him, everything he competed with his uncle to gather, all was consumed overnight. He only left Sodom with his life. And of course, at the end he died, he was destroyed. Slept with his two daughters. Gave birth to the bastard tribes of Moab and Ammon. Ammonites and Moabites. There is any man, any youth in the house, if you want to have a future, avoid strife. Avoid contention. Avoid unhealthy competition. Avoid greed. And avoid disrespect for the authority that makes you. Don't bite the fingers that feed you. Don't kick off the ladder that gave you climb. Don't bang the door. Don't bang that door that you once passed through. Sila, I was advising somebody yesterday, and I told him he had a challenge with his master. And I said, I want you to amicably handle this challenge. Even if you are going to leave, let him bless you so you can live in peace. It's a secular setting, not a church. And I said, because you once passed through that door, don't bang it. Don't let your exit cause noise. You may need that door another day. And you may be stranded because you don't have it. This is how people cut short their lives because of lack of character. Somebody helped you. You now want to hurt him. Somebody raised you. You want to erase him. Somebody who assisted you are now resisting him. And you want to survive. And you want to succeed. God is too principled to allow iniquity to succeed. If you want to have a future, beware of strife, bitterness, unhealthy competition, contention. You achieve this, I achieve that. Beware of greed. Beware of disrespect for the authority that made you. Number two, example of negative character that caused destruction was the Amalekite man who claimed, the Amalekite who claimed that he killed Saul, lost his life on the platform of lying. On the platform of lies and the creation of false impression. He died on the platform. He lost his life on the platform of lies and the creation of false impression. Before I go there, I'm sure you know that the Bible said in James chapter 3 verse 16, when we're referring to Lot still, that anywhere there is envy and strife, there is confusion. And the devil is at work. The devil is at work.
Now you move to that Amalekite. Everybody knows that Saul committed suicide in battle. The Bible said that when the battle was too hot for Saul, and he saw that the Philistines were upon him, Saul fell on his sword. He fell on his sword, pierced himself through with his sword, and died. Jonathan, his son, and all the others with him, all of them committed mass suicide. Then this Amalekite boy chanced upon Saul and removed the crown of Saul and removed his weapon and came to David, thinking that he was bringing David good news. Saul, your enemy that has been pursuing you, is dead. And I am the one who killed him. I saw that the battle was too hot for him, and I knew he would not survive. So I carried his sword, I slew him, and now I have brought his crown for you, and I have brought his weapon for you. David, as soon as he heard the story, he started crying. 2 Samuel chapter 1, maybe you can read from verse 11, thereabout. Back up to when the man told the story, let's say from verse 9. And when he looked behind him, he saw me and called unto me and said, and I answered, here am I. Okay. And he said unto me, who art thou? And I answered him, I am an Amalekite. And he said unto me again, stand, I pray you, upon me and slay me, for anguish is come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me. All right. So I stood upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after that he was fallen. Lie. Saul killed himself. And I took the crown that was upon his head, because I know, David, you are the next king. And the bracelet that was upon his arm, and I have brought them thither unto my Lord. Then David took hold of his claws and rent them. What he had. Who will hear that his enemy who wanted to kill him has died, and he will be crying? The enemy who wanted to murder him died, and David tore his cloth. And likewise all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until the evening. For Saul and for Jonathan his son. And for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel. Because they were falling by the sword. And David, when his eye cleared, he said, wait a minute. David said to the young man that told him, where are you? And he answered, I am the son. Whence are you? That's where are you from? I am the son of a stranger, an Amalekite. What did you say again? How was thou not afraid to stretch forth your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? And he called one of the young men and said, go near and fall upon him. And he smote him that he died. And David said unto him, your blood be upon your head, for your mouth testified against you, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed. That was how that man died, a needless death at the frequency of lies and false impression. Lie killed him. His tongue killed him. Because the Bible said it in Proverbs chapter 18 verse 21. It said, death and life is in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. One other translation said, was it the Living Bible? He said, be careful how you speak. People have died for saying the wrong thing. Those who love to talk will suffer the consequences. Men have died for saying the wrong thing. Is that correct of this man or not? He died for saying the wrong thing. Psalm 101 verse 7. See what God said. For every liar, he that walketh deceit, he was trying to deceive David, he shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. That is, he who tells lies doesn't have a future. He can be cut short anytime. Am I communicating? Don't tell lies. If you want to have a future in this world, and you want to have a destiny, avoid lying. Don't speak to the point of trying to create an impression. Just give expression. Don't create impression. Don't stretch a story to make it more exciting just because you want people to be excited and then you say things that are not true. The seed of lie may produce the harvest of death. Somebody say amen. There are so many people working with certificates that are not their own and doing all manner of things. It's a strategy for the amputation of destiny and the decapitation of life itself. That was how this young man died, because he wanted to create a false impression. Number three, Achan. Achan lost his life and the life of his whole family on the platform of theft and lying. Theft, stealing, and lying. Achan. When Israel was approaching Ai, after the wall of Jericho had fallen, God, through Joshua, told them, when you enter the city, don't touch anything. Everything is cursed. But Achan took something. And Israel became weakened. And the little country of Ai, Israel could not stand before Ai. They whipped them until Joshua lamented. He said, oh God, what will I say? When Israel turned their back on their enemies. We are not meant to be running and enemy is pursuing. We are meant to be pursuing and the enemy is running. I think that was Joshua chapter 7 verse 8. How can we bring down, oh Lord, what shall I say when Israel turned their backs before their enemies? How can we bring down big Jericho and cannot fight tiny Ai? Joshua lay down. I can't remember whether it was for 40 days before God. What happened? God said, Israel has sinned. He didn't say one man sinned, though. Israel. And has dissembled. And you have touched the accursed thing. He said, what? Stood up. Israel. God said, we have sinned. Who touched anything that was accursed? Nobody's answered anything. Nobody. We didn't. So they began to bring out tribe by tribe. By tribe by tribe. The tribe of Achan was brought out. The family of his father was brought out. And then Achan himself was looking. He did not answer, I am the one, until he was pinpointed. He could have saved the whole of Israel until he was pinpointed. Him and his family. I think that was the annoyance of God. And in verse 20 of Joshua chapter 7. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned. Now he's saying, I have, because they caught him, he has been pinpointed. Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them. I took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent. And the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent. And brought them unto Joshua. And unto all the children of Israel. And laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire. After that, they had stoned them with stones. And he raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. I missed out something. The transgression of Achan was 3. 1, covetousness. 2, theft. 3, lie. I saw it, I coveted them. Greed. I saw them, I coveted them. Covetousness. The Bible said, beware of covetousness. For a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he has. I coveted them. And then, I stole them. And then, when they say who stole it, I didn't say I was the one. I lied about them. For a long time, I wondered why God should allow innocent family of Achan to die with Achan. And I realized 2 things. That the things that people do affect their generation. There are some people today who are suffering from the transgressions of their fathers until they are delivered. But the second thing that I saw was that the family members were complicit. Yes, when Achan brought it, he dug the ground. You don't dig the ground in 1 second. You are digging the ground, your family members are watching you. Daddy, what is happening? Papa, what is happening? This is gold, this is silver, this is cloth. They say we shouldn't touch anything. What's going on? All of you, shut up. I know what I'm doing. Dug the ground and covered it. All of them watched it. When Joshua said, who did it? If the wife came out and said, ah, please, I want to beg on behalf of my husband. He made a mistake. Please, I want to beg on behalf of for the sake of my children. Then, even if anybody was to be killed, it would be Achan alone. But all of them kept quiet. They saw it, they kept quiet. Don't die for anybody's iniquity. But do you know what is more painful? Achan did not just lose his life. He didn't just return what he stole. He lost everything he had all his life. Everything you take that is not yours came to reduce you, came to reduce what you already had. It came to delete what you rightfully possess. It came to, what is not yours has not come to add anything to you. It has come to take everything from you. That was what happened to Adam in the Garden of Eden. When Adam ate the fruit God told him not to eat, that fruit did not increase him. That fruit forbade him or forbade him from eating anything further. Am I communicating? Please, if you want a future that is guaranteed and a life that is concrete, avoid the plague of covetousness. Avoid the plague of theft. Stealing. How many people in the village in those days would be stoned to death for stealing yam from the farm? Stealing hen. He was killed. And what did the Bible say? Please sit down. Chapter 17 of Jeremiah, verse 11. It said, as a partridge sitteth on eggs, and hatched them not. So he that getteth riches by theft, not by right, he shall leave them in the midst of his days. So he cannot finish his days. The thief does not finish his days. The thief doesn't finish his days. He shall leave them in the midst of his days. And at the end, he shall be a fool. Zechariah chapter 5 verse 3 to 4 says the curse of the Lord is in the house of the thief. Everyone that steals right. He said he shall cut them off. There is a curse that follows thieves to cut them off. For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off. So, if we are preaching preservation, and there is somebody there in strife and in bitterness like Lot, in greed like Lot, and lack of respect for the authority that made him like Lot, it doesn't work. Or, he's a liar like the Amalekite, creating false impression. It doesn't work. Or, he's a thief like Achan, covetous thief that is a liar. It will not work. But that will never be your portion. In Jesus' name. Number four example is Samson. That is a very well known example. Samson lost his life and destiny assignment on the platform of the strange woman. And talking too much to the wrong person. The only thing we see most times is a strange woman. But beyond that, Samson talked too much to the wrong person. It is the divulging of divine secrets, secret matters. You look at Judges chapter 16, and in verse 16 to 21, Judges 16, 16 to 21, and it came to pass, when she pressed him, that is Delilah, notorious, notable prostitute, pressed him daily with her words, and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, there has not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me. I'm wondering the kind of mouth that Samson used to say this kind of thing. If you want to kill me, shave my head. And I shall become weak like any other man. So he knew he was not like other men. He knew he wasn't an ordinary man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up at once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man. And she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And began to afflict. She began to afflict him. And his strength went from him. She began to afflict him. And afflicting lion. Keep going, I haven't finished. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. And the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass. And he was grinding like the grinding mill in the village, in the prison house. Go to verse 24. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God has delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson. Let him make sport. Let him entertain us. Let's use him to jest. Let's laugh. And they called Samson out of the prison house. And he made sport. He made them sport. Higher. Long story made short. Samson prayed a prayer. Oh Lord, I have failed. But just this once, strengthen me. Let me avenge myself on my enemies for my two eyes that they plucked out. Let me die with the enemy. They could have died alone if he didn't pray that prayer. But he said, let me die with them. And he pushed the house.
and the house crumbled. And those that died in his death were more than those that died in his life. But he died all the same. Died before his time. The strength of Israel becoming the toy of the Gentiles at the frequency of the strange woman and the frequency of talking too much to the wrong person. Look at how the Bible describes the strange woman in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 3 to 5. He said, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. If you love me, why don't you tell me the truth?" Read that verse 3 again. "For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, very sweet, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death." That is, follow her, you follow her to go and die. "Her steps take hold on hell." That was the classical description of Delilah. That is Delilah Classicus. Now, look at Proverbs 7:21. Proverbs 7:21-23. Talking about the strange woman, you can see Delilah here clear. "With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield." Does that remind you of Samson? When he pressed him with his words, she caused him to yield. "With the fluttering of her lips, she forced him. And he goeth after her straight away, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, and as a fool to the correction of the stocks." Verse 23 is very painful. "Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird is hurrying to the snare, and Samson knoweth not that it is for his life." Every time you see the flattery and the smoothness of the tongue on your marks, get set, run. But an equally dangerous thing was when a man reveals the secret of his consecration to a stranger. There are dealings between you and God that even your mother may not be aware. There are revelations between you and God that if God does not allow you, even your wife may not know. But this person is seeing a total stranger open his mouth wide. He says, "See this, my hair? There are three strands in the middle. In case you are interested in killing me, cut it." I like you to think about it. They charm you. They do you. Who do you? Who do you? They do you. Which kind of charm they do when no they spoil? "There are three hair strands inside my head. In case you are interested in killing me, cut it." There are people seated here. The first day you are meeting a person, he has known everything about your life. Our family, we have six in number. The name of the first one is James. The name of the second one is Angelina. My brother has three friends. When we used to grow up, can I tell you some stories? Oh, loquacity, verbal diarrhea, excessive leakage of mouth. Don't say you are sanguine. Let God deal with that sanguineous devil that makes you talk at the frequency of light.
Because the time you would tell people, you would tell people. Joseph was a careful man. But Joseph contributed to his calamity. I have dreamt another dream. You see, eh? The first one you dreamt because we didn't say anything. You have dreamt another dream. Let's see how the dream will come to pass. He ate coconut. The back of coconut. He chewed kwakwa. Kwakus. Did you hear what Proverbs chapter 13 verse 3 said? Can you show it to us? He said, he that keepeth his mouth, keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips like Samson shall have destruction. Now, wow. You know, everything is in the Bible. He that keepeth his mouth, keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips like Samson, he cannot escape destruction. There are questions people ask you, and you tell them, please, sir, I'm not able to answer this now. You know, politeness. When are you traveling? When will you read? There are times some people have asked me some question. Has the crusade finished? Are you on your way? I said, why should I tell you whether I'm on my way? Why? I should announce my movement. And all of you, who someone comes to church and say, where is pastor? He's not around. He has traveled. He's on his way to Mina for crusade. God forgive you. Who sent you? Whether you are, what a useless security work is that? Useless what work is that? Who sent you? Who sent you? Were you ever employed to announce the movement of the pastor? There is no such work on job description. Too much talking things that are not necessary. Talking things that don't need to be talked. I came the other day, I saw somebody sitting there waiting for me, a man and another man. I said, what is it? He said, I want to see you. See me. So what happened? He said, I talked to one protocol and he brought me here. What? You will fulfill your days. Read that passage with me. Proverbs 13 and verse 3. Everybody, 1, 2, go. He that keepeth his mouth, keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have. Somebody say, God forbid. That was how Samson, please take your seat, lost his life. At the frequency, the platform of the strange woman, and talking too much to the same strange woman, to the wrong person. Number 5 is Absalom. I'm showing you people in scripture that were destroyed by negative character. Absalom lost his life and destiny to pride, disloyalty, and rebellion. Pride, disloyalty, rebellion. It was said that Absalom was very, very handsome. Once in a year, they pulled his hair. They pulled his hair. He had hair like a woman. Very, 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 very fine man. And then arrogance entered him. And then he felt that he should be king instead of his father. Now, if you see Absalomic operation, when you hear Absalom, see his operation in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1 to 6. Absalom. If they call you Absalom, it's not a compliment. I mean, nobody, well, I don't know who will name his child Absalom. It came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, people who were looking for the king, Absalom will call them aside. Then Absalom called unto him. It's not Absalom they were looking for. It was the King David they were looking for. He will call them aside and say, of what city are you? And he said, your servant is of one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, see, your matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed or designated or assigned of the king to hear you. That's what the problem we are having in this ministry. That is Absalom talking on. That's our problem. The pastor is so busy, he's doing so many, many things, which is very, very good. But who can hear you? Look at how Absalom was in the matter. Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which has any suit or cause might come unto me, and I will do him justice. I wish I was the pastor or the senior pastor. Or I wish I was in charge of matters. And it was so that when any man came to him to do obeisance to him, wants to bend, I said, he took him off by his hand. Stand up. Don't need to bend. And kiss his hand. Don't bother. It's only the king that wants people to be slaves like that. Stand up. And kiss his hand. I love you. When was the last time the king kissed your hand? I want you to watch what the Bible says next. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king, not to Absalom, for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. That is what is called disloyalty. The stealing of loyalty. The stealing of the hearts of people. Where somebody who is under a master is diverting the loyalty of the followership. He diverted the loyalty of the people. He did that pride first, disloyaltiness, and then he went into rebellion. Since this old man doesn't want to die, let's push him out. Absalom entered into the battlefield with his father. That was his end. That was his end. Anytime a dog wants to die, he has no respect for his owner. I was coming home one day. I don't know whether it was excitement or so. One of the little fanciful dogs said, whoa, whoa. I said, what is that? What are you talking about? Shut up! He ran with his tail inside. You know that there are some dogs that don't know what emotion to express at certain times. Learn sense. The next time he saw me, he lay down on his back. And then I began to stroke. I said, now you understand. This is how to behave. The crying of a baby does not attract it extra. Absalom entered battle. You know what happened to Absalom? Absalom went, and the hair that was his pride, the tree cut the hair. His pride was arrested by the tree. You know what next happened to him? The camel, the donkey he was sitting under, ran from him. So he was hanging in midair. That is why the Bible said, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. When a person is about to be destroyed, the first sign you will see is arrogance, pride. Second Samuel chapter 18, verse 9 to 16. See what happened to us. And Absalom met the servants of David and Absalom rode on a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth. Heaven rejected him, earth rejected him, and the mule that was under him, that could have allowed him to sit on him, ran away. He was hanging in the air, still alive. The natural thing is for people to go and bring him down. One man came to Joab, the brutal army general, and he said, "I saw Absalom hanging in the on the tree." Joab said, "What? And what did you do?" He said, "Well, I don't want to offend anybody. I saw when the king was saying we should be careful with Absalom." As Joab said, "I don't have time for useless people like you." He took three darts. Arrows. Straight into his heart. Killed him from there. Brought him down. Buried him inside a pit. Covered him. Blew the trumpet. Battle over. That was how pride, disloyalty, and arrogance killed, and rebellion killed Absalom. And it is scriptural. If you look at the Bible, in the book of Proverbs chapter 16 verse 18, Proverbs 16, 18, the Bible said, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." And Proverbs chapter 18 verse 12, Proverbs 18 verse 12, it said, Proverbs 18, 12, was that Proverbs 18, 12? "Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty." That is, if a man is about to be destroyed, he becomes haughty first. And before honor is humility. When a person is about to be honored, humility is the first sign. When a person is about to be destroyed, arrogance is the first sign. What about rebellion? 1 Samuel 15, 23. What happened to the rebellious? The Bible said, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." So rebellion and witchcraft are the same. Rebellion equals witchcraft. And what happens to witchcraft? "Suffer not the witch to live." Exodus 22, 18. So if you suffer not the witch to live, it means suffer not the rebellious to live. I've seen many rebellious cut short before their time. Many. Psalm 68 verse 6. Psalm 68 and in verse 6. God settled the solitary in families. He brought out those which are bound with chains. But the rebellious dwell in the dry land. That will never be your portion. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody say the loudest amen. I give you one more example, and that is Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot lost his life and destiny. Do you want to know what Judas lost his life and destiny to? One, consistent theft, consistent thievery, betrayer. And the sale of his master. Theft that was consistent. John chapter 12, verse 6. Judas, the Bible said, he said that they should have sold something and given the money to the poor. The Bible said, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, confirmed. And he had the bag and stole what was put inside. That was the testimony of all the testimony Judas can have. That is his testimony. He was a thief. Judas betrayed the master to Luke chapter 22, look at verse 47 to 48. Luke 22, 47 to 48. "And while he yet spake, behold a multitude. And he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" Use the sign of love to communicate hate. used the keys to kill. That was Judas. Other references to that is Matthew 26, verse 48 and 49. Matthew 26, verse 48 and 49. And now, he sold the master. Matthew 26, 15 to 16. Matthew 26, 15 to 16. And he said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. That was the price of a slave. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. And he betrayed him. But when he got the money, he had no need for the money anymore. And in Matthew 27, verse 3 to verse 5, Judas returned with the money. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See to it. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. That was the end of Judas. That money that he dropped, they went and used it to buy graveyard, place to buy, to bury foreigners. Show me a person who is a consistent thief, a well-known thief. He is aware people know he steals, he's still stealing. He has no future in this world and in the world to come. Show me a person who is an expert betrayer. Expert word? If that is a word. You and him went to do a job. He pushed you out and got the job. One woman cried for me like as if she would die. She went with her friend to go get a job, like 300 million or something. The person that was to give them the job began to look for the woman. Compromise, and you get the job. She said, no, I don't do such things. He told her friend. Her friend said, do you hear the amount? What will it take from you?
Hi.
She said, I cannot do that. Next thing she knew, the other one already got the job. That is to show you what would have happened. She, as if she would die. Betrayer. Somebody followed you to visit your wife to be that you wanted to marry. Next thing, the girl said, no, I won't marry you again. Next thing you know, she's in courtship with your friend who visited you. Did you know that that was what happened to Samson at one time? His best man married his wife. He paid the dowry. Another person married. So he said, okay, I set all of you on fire. Betrayer. We have it everywhere. You are confiding in somebody, is using what you are confiding in him to attack your life. Betrayer. Let me tell you, there is no Judas Iscariot that has a future. Anyone who is confirmed a betrayer of confidence, a betrayer of trust. It was somebody who knew the whereabouts of Jesus. I know where he used to pray. I know his place. Come, let me take you. He took them to the place in the Mount of Olives where Jesus prays with his disciples. That was what Judas took, where Judas took those who would kill Jesus. May God deliver you from Judas. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. Do you want to have a future? Please avoid the way of Lot, the way of strife, the way of greed, the way of disrespect and value for the authority that raises you. Do you want to have a future? Avoid the way of the Amalekite, the way of lies, the way of speaking sweet things to create impression. Do you want to have a future? Avoid the way of Achan, the way of covetousness, the way of lying, the way of theft. Do you want to have a future? Avoid the way of Samson, strange woman or strange man, as the case may be, and the way of talking too much to the wrong person. Do you want to have a future? Avoid the way of Absalom, the way of pride, disloyalty, the stealing of the loyalty of people from who they should be loyal to, and rebellion. So you have a future in this world and in the world to come. Do you want to have a future? Avoid the way of Judas Iscariot, the way of theft, the way of betrayal, betraying trust, betraying confidence, and selling the master completely. You know, there are people who sell you behind your back. But positive character preserves life. And I'll give you two examples and we'll round off. Example number one is Daniel. Positive character preserves life. Daniel was a man of notorious positive character. Daniel, chapter 1, verse 8, Daniel refused to defile himself. He proposed that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. That was Daniel. Daniel, chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Daniel 6, 3 and 4. The presidents and the princes sought. Verse 4 now. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion, nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. So they threw him into the lion's den. And in Daniel chapter 6, from verse 20 all the way to verse 27, the lion had no power over him. He had no power over him. That was Daniel. What of Paul the apostle? See Paul's testimony in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 10. Paul said, "You are witnesses and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe." Holily, justly. And what was Paul's testimony? What was Paul's experience? In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23 to 28. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In debts often. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, except for one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of the waters, perils of robbers, perils of by my own countrymen, in perils by the hidden, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. I have been in danger, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings often, in cold, and in nakedness. All these things came upon Paul, yet they couldn't kill him until he died as Paul the aged in Philemon chapter 1 verse 9. Beloved, it pays to maintain positive character and it costs to uphold negative character. My counsel is two. Number one, secure your destiny and prolong your days through positive character. Again, secure your destiny and prolong your days through positive character. Why do I say so? Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 24. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 24. And the Lord commanded us. Now, I know you are writing, but I'd like you to see this scripture. Secure your destiny and prolong your days through positive character. Look at that. Are you reading with me now? Everybody read, one to go. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive. That is summary. Live for God. Live correctly. For your good always. so that God will prolong your days. Psalm 25 verse 21. Psalm 25 verse 21. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. And then Isaiah 33:15-16. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppression, he shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, he stops his ears from hearing of blood, and shut his eyes from seeing evil. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of the rocks. Bread shall be given him, and his waters shall be sure. If it's not where they are shedding blood, it's not backbiting and killing, he's not into corruption and fraud, his place of defense shall be the munitions of rock. Secure your destiny and prolong your days through positive characters. Number two, and finally, receive grace to deny ungodliness and negative character. Receive the grace to deny ungodliness and negative character. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Titus 2, 11 and 12. He said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. That grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, so we can live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So in case you are battling in any area, Lord, I apply for grace to say no to lying, to say no to stealing, to say no to greed, to say no to bitterness and strife, to say no to the strange woman, to say no to talkativeness, to say no to rebellion, to say no to disloyalty. I am applying for grace, and I receive that grace, and I see that grace is upon somebody here. Who is that person? And who has received the word? I have been blessed by it. I mentioned six people. Each of those six people for negative character, two people for positive character. That is eight together. Each person is a 60-minute message minimum, which I have compressed together just to give a blastful impartation. I'm most excited by the youth in the house, because I believe something has dropped on you that is shaping your life and shaping your future. When you see people lying, cheating in the exam, don't follow them to do so. They are cutting short their destiny. They are aborting their future. When you see them do boyfriend, girlfriend, and you're moving here, it's my girl, this is my boy, and we are going out. I'm going out with somebody. Going to where? We are going out. No. Just going out of destiny. The King Lemuel's mother told him, give not your strength to women, to that which destroyed kings. Every time a young man gives out his seed, that seed is your strength, is your life, is your energy, is your potential, is your destiny. You keep on giving it out, all of a sudden you become coconut head. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Anyone blessed tonight? Anyone's life is shaped tonight? Stand up on your feet with a loud shout of victory. 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 Well, you have received something tonight. Lift up your hands and appreciate God for what you received. Father, thank you for your word. For your word. Life-changing word. Destiny-changing word. Life-changing word. Destiny-changing word. Destiny-molding word. Destiny-liberating word. I receive your word. I appreciate your word. Lift your voice and speak to God. Lift your voice and speak to God. Honor him, adore him, worship him. I don't want anybody moving out. Is that you, Tom? Just a moment. Just one moment. At that gate there, what gate is that? Are there ushers there at all? Youth, don't behave like children all the time. Remain where you are so you can sort out your future.
Yes, sir.
Sort out your destiny. In a few minutes, we shall be true. Lift your two hands and say, Father,
Father,
I thank you
for your word to me
tonight.
Thank you, Lord,
for blessing me
with your word.
I am grateful.
Oh, Lord,
in the name of Jesus.
Open your mouth and pray.
What's happening here?
In the name of Jesus,
lift up your two hands everywhere you are and pray this prayer after me and say, Father, and I want you to pray it with passion. Say, Father,
help me
to avoid
the way of Lot.
Help me, Lord,
to avoid
the way of the Amalekite.
Help me, Lord,
to avoid
the way of Achan.
Help me, Lord,
to avoid
the way of Samson.
Help me, Lord,
to avoid
the way of Absalom.
Help me, Lord,
to avoid
the way of Judas.
Help me, Lord,
to walk in the way
of Daniel,
the way
of Paul the Apostle,
the way
of my Master Jesus.
I receive the grace
to say yes to God
and the grace
to say no
to wrong,
no
to evil.
I receive
that grace
now.
Open your mouth and pray.
Thank you.
two hands.
There was a man by the name of Joshua the high priest. He was wearing a filthy garment. And that garment positioned Satan near him. Zechariah chapter 3. Father, every garment of filth, lying garment, stealing garment, garment of pride, garment of rebellion, garment of uncleanness, any such garment on my body, Father, let it be set on fire. And give me a change of garment tonight. Lift your hands and say, Father, I ask that every evil garment, every garment of corruption, of uncleanness on my life, on my body, will be set on fire today in the name of Jesus. Every wrong garment on my life, garment of bondage, garment of addiction, garment of compromise, garment of iniquity, in the name of Jesus, catch fire. Now! Open your mouth and pray. Lift your hands and say, Father, I receive a change of garment tonight. The right garment I receive tonight. Open your mouth and speak to God. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands finally and say, Father, I receive grace to say no to the wrong thing. I receive grace to say no to the wrong thing. I receive that grace now. Open your mouth and speak to God. I receive the grace to say no to the wrong thing. I receive the grace to say no to the wrong thing. I receive the grace to say no to the wrong thing. Thank you.
in the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands and receive something. Something. I see a release of fresh grace. New garments released. Old garments set on fire. Lift the hands high. Everywhere you are, Father, let a fire fall. Let your hand be sufficient for someone. Let a life of someone change. Let a story change. Let pains go. Give someone a touch. I see a fresh mantle coming on someone where God said I couldn't use you the way I wanted to use you before now.
because of the garment on your life, but today the garment is being set on fire and fresh grace is coming upon you. Fresh mantle, fresh healing, fresh deliverance, fresh liberation, fresh touch from the Lord. When I say in the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3, you scream, I receive, and place the hand on your head, and you will receive something tonight. Father, let it drop, let it flow, let the fire flow, let your hand be released upon the life of the people. Let it come and be set on fire, and it's not good. A new garment be released, a change of story. In the name of Jesus, 1, 2, and 3.
Encounters where the garment was set on fire, where the garments were replaced, where mantles were dropped, where keys were dropped, where there was a turnaround in your finances and in your resources. All those kind of encounters are permanent in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. And take your seat 1 minute. If you are the one with that chest that is healed, or you are the one with that encounter that God changed your cloth and gave you a new cloth, or any other kind of encounter, quickly run to the front here. I'll take 2, 3, or 4 people and then we'll move straight away. Bring me the mic and let's just not wait for them. What happened to you?
Feeling heaviness in my heart when green preaching, but right now.
And night is gone. Lift your hands. Power of the Holy Ghost free. What happened to you?
When I dream, my dream used to too much. And my encounter with Daddy, most is with the
what children. Happened now? What happened
and
to
now,
me?
And now, as you are praying, when I came today was it was a reality of that day of the dream. And I have plenty.
What happened to you today?
Today, when I came, my eyes started.
And now you are whole. Father, thank you in the name of Jesus. What happened to you? Insanity is gone. Insanity twice, and now it is gone forever. It returns back no more. What happened to you?
said there has not been peace in their family, and he came here with burdened heart. Now,
and now the burden is lifted. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. 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 Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. What happened?
Sir, she said she saw you, she had an encounter and saw you. You removed the clothes she was wearing on and wore her a lab coat. She is in secondary school but wants to read medicine. You wore her the same kind of lab coat.
Medical coat.
Yes, sir. Medical coat.
Congratulations. Go and fulfill your destiny.
Somebody came to her and asked her, remove the black clothes you're wearing and gave her a white garment.
Right, just now.
Yes,
every black garment of depression, garment of shame and garment of reproach, garment of iniquitous bondage, be set on fire.
He said that while you were preaching, sir, he saw angels on the altar. And when you came to him, an angel came and was pouring liquid fire upon his head.
Wow. Are you ready for the fire? Put your hands. Power of the Holy Ghost. Fire. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and your hope is almost sinking. What happened to you? And it's gone. What of you? Arrow on the shoulder head. What of you? What happened to you? The chest is healed. What happened to you, sir? Change your filthy garment. Wow. A change of the filthy garment of accusation from the accuser of the brethren. That's right. Go and do better in ministry than ever before. The accusation is over. Power of the Holy Ghost. What happened to you? And now the filthy garment is gone. What of you? Chest is free after the preaching. What of you? Asthmatic condition for how long? And now you are free. Take a deep breath. In. Asthmatic condition. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Behold, what happened? Okay, a voice said to him, this is the last time you tied him. Lift up your hands. Every devil that tied you, the chain breaks tonight. What happened to you? Chest pain is gone. What of you? Somebody, Pastor, come on. Guinea's, Ginny, is
pain on her chest left.
And what happened now? Give the Lord the praise.
Operation, what happened? Operation, a hard voice, the pain in him.
Over. Jesus' name.
Chest palpitation gone.
Gone, yes.
His mother was having chest issue. He prayed for the mother and the thing came on him, but now it's gone.
Now it's free. What happened?
She stood up for breast cancer for prayers.
Fire of the Holy Ghost. That cancer dies to hell.
He came, he said he had, they told him he had BP and he came have palpitation. Off.
And now the blood pressure is over.
Yes, sir.
Normal blood pressure. Everyone here under pressure, blood pressure and any kind of affliction is over.
Sir, amazing. She said, when you were preaching and praying for us, you saw a duplicate of her, but very empty, hollow. And she says, physically she feels empty always. Now, while you were preaching, she saw herself full, now entered into that hollow one.
Wow. Congratulations. Every satanic wrong identity in your life is over today.
They shot him gone in the dream, sir. While you were preaching, she saw somebody remove the...
Please, no new person coming up anymore because of time.
Somebody removed 6 inches away from him.
All right. God bless you. You testify tomorrow. God bless you. Congratulations.
An arrow shot into his head, pulled out.
An arrow shot into the heart, pulled out. Father, thank you for all these testimonies here. And we declare them healed. What happened to you? Change of garment. Change of garment. He saw an angel when I was blowing the instrument. He saw an angel coming like out of that instrument and releasing fire upon the people. And the fire was changing the garments of people. Anybody ready for that change of garment here? Receive it. What happened to you? She marked charm and now legs are free. Father, thank you. Wave your hands and give the Lord the praise. Say, Father, I receive what is mine today. I receive what is mine today. Right now, anywhere you are this night, the message that I preach tonight touched you in one area or the other. And you are saying, Pastor, I want to make my ways right with Jesus. I want forgiveness for my sins. Pick your Bibles and your bags and quickly run to the front here and make your ways right with Jesus. I'll give you the count of 10 and don't be the last to come. Quickly run to the front here. Now, pick your Bibles and pick your bags and be the first.
Lord, I give you my life. I give you my soul.
Issue of blood of 10 years.
Issue of
blood for 2 years. Attended healing service yesterday and she hasn't seen the blood again today. Father, thank you because it is over forever. Those coming, surrendering their life to Christ, quickly step forward here. I'll give you the count of 10. One. As you come with your Bibles and your bags. If you are the victim of an addiction or a negative lifestyle, something you are not happy with, something you want God to break out of your life, and you are saying, Pastor, I am tired of living like this, of doing this kind of thing, come forward here and let the yoke be broken. I am a good person and I love God, but I'm just rising and falling in this kind of lifestyle. I want to be free. Quickly come forward here. One. Two. While they are doing so, please,
Lord,
communion, take your position. Communion.
Give my heart, give my soul.
I live for you alone.
I live for you.
I live for you.
Every breath that I take,
every moment I'm away.
Every moment I'm away.
Have your way, Lord.
Have your
way. Everybody sing. Congratulations, I welcome you. If you place your hand on your chest, pray after me and say, Lord Jesus, say it louder, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life. Make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. From today, I go forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray for you today. I declare that the hold of sin be broken off your life. The grace to live for God be released upon you. And I call it done. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord the praise.